Hello there. Hope you're doing well, because we're about to start. My name is John Backus, and I'm excited to introduce you to our programs. Speaking of introducing, don't just keep this whole thing to yourself. Try bringing your friends along. Everything is a lot more fun with friends. Our first program, Let's Read the Bible, will help us hear his words and teach us to read the Bible on our own. And after that is a pretty awesome series called Unlocked. It's a devotional program for teens. Our next program, Children's Bible Drama, will use our imagination to portray characters from the Bible. And last, but certainly not least, Daily Devotional will wrap up the broadcast. Let's start with Let's Read the Bible.
Hello everyone, my name is Yuna Kang. I'm the host of this program, Let's Read the Bible. Last time, we discussed that we were originally sinners, but we were born again as righteous people by dying with Jesus. Because we received a new life, we need to start living a life by doing things that God likes. We also discussed that we should not use our bodies to do unrighteous things. Instead, we should use it as a tool to help us become more righteous. However, at times, people say, it's too hard to be a Christian. It is so hard not to commit sins and live by righteousness. Do you sometimes think this way as well? If so, why do you think that is? For all of us who think that it is hard to not sin and live righteously, the Apostle Paul tells us that it is not hard at all. In Romans chapter 6, verse 15 through 23, the Apostle Paul explains the reasons for this. Particularly in Romans chapter 6, verse 20, the Apostle Paul says, "Once you were slaves of sins. At that time, right living did not control you." This means that before we knew about Jesus and lived as slaves of sin, we did not want to live righteously. This is true. When we lived as sinners, we did not have the desire to become more righteous. We didn't even have a reason to live righteously. However, after we knew about Jesus, we knew about God. Now, we have the reason for why we should live righteously, and we started to want a righteous life. Just as we did not have the desire to live righteously when we were sin slaves, we should not have the desire to commit any sins now that we are followers of righteousness. Do you still think that you want to commit sins inside your heart? Let's continue to look at the Apostle Paul's message in Romans chapter 6, verse 21. It says, "What benefits do you gain from doing things you are now ashamed of? Those things lead to death. The fruits that we bore when we lived in sin without a desire for righteousness are all shameful fruits, and these fruits lead us to eternal death." Do you want to do shameful things? Do you want to do those things that lead to eternal death? No one probably wants to do that. If you still have the desire to sin in your heart, it is because you do not realize that the fruits of sin are shameful. It is because you do not realize that the sins that you commit lead you to eternal death. If you are like this, please pray to the Lord. Ask the Lord to help you understand the shame and fear of sin. And ask the Lord to help you to stop wanting to do these shameful and fearful things ever again. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please help us to be able to understand the fearful fact that sin is shameful and leads us to death. Please help us to understand this so that we can be free from being slaves of sin and solely become slaves of righteousness. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now, let's read the Bible. Today, Yuni Choi from Arizona will read the book of Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 23 from NIRV. I hope you all have a great week, and I hope you will join us again next week. Until then, God bless.
My name is Yuni Choi. I'm 9 years old and I live in Arizona. Today I'm going to read Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 23. Let's read the Bible. What should we say then? Should we sin because we are not ruled by the law but by God's grace? Not at all. Don't you know that when you give yourself to obey someone, you become that person's slave? If you're slaves of sin, then you will die. But if you're slaves to obey God, then you will live a godly life. You used to be slaves of sin, but thank God that with your whole heart you obeyed the teachings you were given. You have been set free from sin. You have become slaves to right living. Because you are a human, you find this hard to understand. So I am using an everyday example to help you understand. You used to give yourself to be slaves to unclean living. You were becoming more and more evil. Now give yourself to be slaves to right living. Then you will become holy. Once you were slaves of sin, at that time right living did not control you. What benefit did you gain from doing the things you are now ashamed of? Those things led to death. You have been set free from sin. God has made you slaves. The benefit you gain leads to holy living. And the end result is eternal life. When you sin, the pay you get is death. But God gives you the gift of eternal life. That's because of what Christ Jesus, our Lord, has done. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for saving us from sin, and thank you for sending your one and only Son, Jesus. Help us obey God and have eternal life. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Here's a program called Unlocked, Part 1, provided by Keys for Kids Ministries.
What is one of your favorite things God has made? What does this reveal about Him? Hey there, I'm Andrew Stevens, and this is Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. Have you ever stopped to think about all the amazing things that there are in creation? We're going to take a little bit of time for our devotion today and do just that. This one was written by Emily Auker, and it's called All That God Has Done. God is so worthy of our praise. Have you ever let yourself really focus on some of the things God has done and then gotten it carried away with how much you're in awe of Him? Have you ever looked at nature to see what God has created or thought about how He keeps life going and sustains the entire universe every single day? God made all things good, and even though the world has been broken by sin, we can still catch glimpses of what God is like through what He's made. When a new baby is born, we can marvel at how intricately God designed us. He is the one who sustains life, and He cares for us in our weakness and smallness. When we behold a beautiful sunset or a strong storm, that is just a hint of how powerful and worthy of our praise God is. There's so much here on this wonderful yet broken earth that shows us what God is like. Have you ever taken time to look up at a sky filled with stars? Or to look down at a patch of soil filled with living things? Have you taken time just to look at yourself in a mirror, flaws and all, and think about how God put your face together and how He decided just how you should look? Even with the acne and scars that inevitably come in this broken world, we can still marvel at how God made us, purposefully, carefully, beautifully. He looks at us with love. God deeply wants us to know Him and enter His rest. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus, to reveal truths about God that we could never know just from looking at creation. And through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, God made a way for us to be close to Him and know Him intimately. If we follow Jesus, we get to be part of His redemptive work as He heals brokenness in, among, and around us. And we get to look forward to the day when Jesus will return and make all things new and whole, fully good, as God intended. If we put our trust in Jesus, His Holy Spirit lives in us and helps us see the wonderful things God does. He helps us ponder the greatness of God, who has done so many things to amaze us. So let's talk about this. What are some questions going through your mind right now? God offers us so many awe-inspiring moments, like being in nature, holding a newborn baby, and singing with our church family. When do you feel the most in awe of God? What is one of your favorite things God has made? What does this reveal about Him? As you and I can read in Psalm 103, verse 2, "Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Now, I'd encourage you to read in your Bible Psalm 95, especially verses 1 through 5, to help keep God's Word alive in your life. Unlocked is a service of Keys for Kids Ministries. How would you like to write for Unlocked, just like Emily did for our devotion today? If you're interested, check out our writer's guidelines at unlocked.org. Also, be sure to check back tomorrow because you and I are going to look at how Jesus knows our names. But until then, I'm Andrew, encouraging you to live life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
Stay tuned for Unlocked Part 2, provided by Keys for Kids Ministries.
Have you ever experienced God's compassion toward you? What was it like? Hey there, I'm Andrew Stevens, and this is Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. I know when I'm excited about something because I can't help but talk about it. A lot, much to the annoyance of my family, I'm pretty sure, too. And I know I can't be the only one, because there's times when you can just tell a person is excited just by looking at them. Our devotion day has some things to discuss along those lines. It's called Living Proof, and it was written by Mandy DeSillitz. False advertising is the worst. A click that leads to a blank page, a product that doesn't perform as promised, or a heap of hype for something new that actually isn't. But when something is the real thing, it needs no ad campaign. If a product proves itself to be amazing, no one needs to promote it. Word spreads and soon everybody wants one. The same is true about faith in Jesus. If you've experienced His love for you, received His saving grace that covers your sin, and are learning to trust and obey Him, you're living proof that He's the real thing. Every time I'm made aware of my faults or flaws, the Holy Spirit reminds me of the Father's compassion toward me. The more compassion I absorb from Him, the more I carry with me to hand out to others when I'm tempted to criticize Him. Every time I feel regret for my sin, the Holy Spirit reminds me that He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. Experiencing this grace inspires me to offer it to anyone, even to people I might be tempted to hold a grudge against because their sins against me. Every time I look at the chaos of this world and want to cower in fear or lash out in anger, the Holy Spirit reminds me of the words Jesus said, "My Father is always working, and so am I." The choice of peace over panic speaks volumes about the trustworthiness of the God I say I believe in. This peace doesn't come from me. It's God's gift, and He offers it to anyone who puts their trust in Jesus. Jesus doesn't need flashy graphics or clever commercials to make Him look appealing. His salty and shining followers are enough. He really is love. He offers real grace, and He truly can be trusted. So let's talk about this. What are some questions going through your mind right now? Have you ever experienced God's compassion toward you? What was it like? Have you experienced God's grace covering your sin? Who in your life could you show the same compassion and grace to? Have you experienced peace from God? Do you need peace right now? How could you share God's peace with the people around you? As you and I can read in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, "In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." Now, I'd encourage you to read in your Bible Psalm 103, verses 1 through 14, Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16, as well as 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 7, to help keep God's Word alive in your life. Unlocked is a service of Keys for Kids Ministries. Have you checked out our social media pages lately? We would love to connect with you. Search for @UnlockedDevo on Instagram or Unlocked Devotional on Facebook for almost daily updates, a good laugh every once in a while, and occasionally a peek behind the scenes of Unlocked. Now, be sure to check back tomorrow because you and I are going to be looking at Dancing in the Courtyard. But until then, I'm Andrew Stevens, encouraging you to live life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
Coming up next is Children's Bible Drama.
Hello, everyone. It's June from the Judges version of Children's Bible Drama. Gideon and the Israelites brought judgment upon the Midian United Army. The people began to praise Gideon, who destroyed 130,000 men of the Midian United Army with only 300 of his men.
Gideon, you are amazing! How did you get rid of the vast enemy troop with only 300 men? Please be our king. If you become our king, then no other nation will look down upon Israel. Not only you, but may your sons and descendants reign over us for generations.
However, the people didn't fully understand how Gideon was able to defeat the Midianites. Gideon was able to destroy the Midian United Army consisting of over 130,000 men, not because of his great power, but because God was in the battle. However, Gideon knew it wasn't because of his power. Therefore, Gideon spoke to the people.
No, it wasn't because of my power. Therefore, I cannot be your king and reign over you. Not only myself, but my descendants cannot do that. God fought this battle, therefore only God can reign over you.
Gideon clearly stated that he cannot be the people's king. However, one side of him did want to become a king. Therefore, he made a special request to the people.
I will not become your king, but if you feel grateful towards me, then you can give me the gold earrings you took from the Midianites during the war.
Gold earrings? Is that all? Of course! We will gladly give them to you. Let's hurry and gather the gold earrings we took from the Midianites and give them to Gideon.
Yes, let's do that. Gather them here.
The people gathered the earrings they took from the Midianites and brought them before Gideon. The weight of the gathered earrings was more than 40 pounds.
Gideon, we have gathered and brought the earrings we took from the Midianites.
Not only that, you didn't ask for it, but we also brought you ornaments, pendants, and garments worn by the kings of Midian. Only you are qualified to wearing a king's garment.
Is that so? Since you brought them with such care, I will greatly accept them.
Gideon received many goods from the Israelites that day. He melted the gold and made it into an ephod. An ephod was a garment the priests of Israel wore when they were going to give an offering to God. In the ephod, there were jewels that symbolized each of the 12 tribes of Israel. The priest wore an ephod and went before God on behalf of the Israelites to confess sins and receive forgiveness of sins. However, Gideon was not a priest, but he made an ephod out of gold. Also, an ephod is worn in the holy place where God's presence dwells, but instead of the holy place, Gideon placed the ephod in his town so the people could see it. Unfortunately, the Israelites bowed before the ephod and brought offerings as if the gold ephod Gideon made saved them from the Midian's oppression. God sent the Midianites to make the Israelites suffer so they could realize how they left God and served Baal and Asherah. When the Israelites repented, God saved Israel from the hands of Midian through his amazing grace. However, the Israelites left God again and served an ephod this time. This was not right before God. Gideon didn't live a holy life after this war. He said he couldn't be the king of Israel, but he lived like a king. He had many wives and had 70 sons from his many wives. Not only that, but he went all the way to Shechem where foreigners lived and had a concubine. He had a son from that concubine as well. He named that son Abimelech. The name Abimelech means, "My father is king." Gideon, who said he wouldn't be king, named his son, "My father is king." He thought of himself as a king. To keep his promise, God didn't make enemies attack Israel while Gideon was alive. Gideon lived as a judge for 40 years and he died of old age. When Gideon died, the descendants of Israel began to serve Baal again. They broke the covenant with God and formed a covenant with Baal. They didn't remember God and they didn't remember Gideon who saved them from the hands of Midian. Israel forgot about God's grace. What will happen to them now? I'll see you next time from the Judges version of Children's Bible Drama. Goodbye.
You to participate in our program, Let's Read the Bible. You can record your own reading of Bible passages and send them to us, Heart and Soul Gospel Ministries. For more information, please call us at 602-866-8999. Thank you.
Get ready for a program called Daily Devotional, provided by Keys for Kids Ministries. From Monday to Friday, we will listen to each day's daily devotional. I hope you listen to each devotional during the week. Now, let's start with Monday's daily devotional.
Why did God make something as annoying as mosquitoes? You're making me miserable.
God created mosquitoes for a purpose, and they weren't a problem when He made them. Do you love summertime? If so, you're gonna love today's story right here on Keys for Kids. Summer is my favorite season, but it does have a few irritations, like sunburns, humid weather, and of course, mosquitoes. So why did God make summer with annoying parts anyway? Well, when God created the world, everything He made was good and perfect. But when Adam and Eve sinned, they messed up that perfection, and so even now we have those irritating bits, like mosquitoes. But you know what? God uses mosquitoes to feed dragonflies and spiders and birds, just to name a few. So next time you get annoyed by something, remember, God is using it for good. And that's what our story is about today. It's entitled, Why Mosquitoes? Oh, I'm getting so itchy. I hate mosquitoes. Grace slapped her arm. All evening, she and her brother Wyatt had been bothered by the pesky bugs, but they hadn't wanted to stay inside the cabin. Well, I'm not ready to go in yet, said Wyatt. We only have a couple more days here at the lake, and I want to fish some more, and ouch! He interrupted himself as he slapped at a mosquito on his leg. Let's get some more bug spray, said Grace. So they ran up the hill to the cabin where their parents were sitting on the screened-in porch.
You too tired of fishing already? Asked Dad.
No, but we're being eaten alive. We have to put on more insect repellent, Wyatt explained.
Why did God have to make mosquitoes anyhow? Asked Grace.
Well, mosquitoes might be a nuisance for you, but they're important to some of God's creatures, said Dad.
Dragonflies, for example. They're food for them. Mom nodded. And for purple martins and a lot of other birds.
Bats eat mosquitoes too, Dad said.
There are also certain kinds of fish that eat mosquito larvae.
Really? Said Grace. Well, if you ask me, they're welcome to them.
Do you remember what God said after he created the heavens and earth? Dad asked.
Sure, it was one of our memory verses at church, replied Wyatt. He recited the verse. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good.
Right, Dad nodded.
But now, unfortunately, all of creation has been affected by sin. That's why some things God created are now harmful and irritating. But everything he made has a purpose, and he's promised to restore harmony within all of creation someday in the future. The Bible says that when Jesus returns, he'll get rid of sin and the pain it causes, and we'll be able to enjoy his creation the way he intended it to be. And then the mosquitoes won't be a problem anymore.
Grace grinned and held up the can of insect repellent.
Well, this stuff has a purpose too, she said, and I hope it works.
So how about you? Do you wonder why God created mosquitoes, flies, and other pesky bugs? Have you ever wished he hadn't made snakes or spiders or other creatures you don't like? Everything God created is part of his plan, but sin has affected that plan. However, there's still a purpose for all he has made, and someday God will restore harmony to his creation. Thank him for making all things good and for his promise to make everything right again one day.
Our key verse for today is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 31.
God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good.
And our key thought today, everything has a purpose. Imagine you're on a long road trip and you've got another 6 hours to go. What are you going to do? Join the Morrison family down Gilead Lane or Bryce and Ashley on Red Rock Mysteries on the summer road trip sale. CDs, downloads, and Red Rock books are 20% off. Find the fun at keysforkids.net and click shop. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
It's time for Tuesday's Daily Devotional.
Mrs. Deaton talks a lot, so I didn't like to visit her at first, but she's taught me a lot since then.
That's great. We have so much to learn from the older people in our lives. Hi, you're listening to Keys for Kids, and my name is Zach. Come on in and get comfortable. We'll get started. Have you ever spent time talking with someone who's 60, 70, or even 80 years old? You can learn a lot from someone that old, and the Bible proves it. Just listen to what David wrote in Psalm 71, verse 18. Even while I am old and gray, God, do not abandon me. While I proclaim your power to another generation, your strength to all who are to come. Let's listen to our story now. It's called Senior Saints. As part of a service project, the kids in Callie's class at church made a weekly check on the senior church members who lived in their neighborhood. It takes longest to check on Mrs. Deaton, Callie told Elena, her project partner. She always talks and talks. Elena agreed, but they dutifully called on the elderly lady once a week. One day, Mrs. Deaton showed the girls some faded photographs. Who's this? Elena asked, pointing to a picture of a little girl. Mrs. Deaton smiled. That's my daughter. How come she never visits you or takes care of you now that you're old? Callie blurted without thinking. She was in a car accident many years ago and the Lord took her to be with him, Mrs. Deaton explained. Callie's face flushed when she heard that. Now don't you fret, Mrs. Deaton said, patting Callie's hand. Losing her was the hardest thing I've ever faced, but Jesus was with me through it all. When he says he will never leave us or forsake us, he means it. Not long after that, Mrs. Deaton didn't come to the door when the girls rang the bell. Callie peered through a window. She couldn't see clearly, but it looked as though Mrs. Deaton was slumped over a table. Oh no, Callie cried in alarm. But just then, Mrs. Deaton's head jerked up. Seeing Callie's frightened face, Mrs. Deaton came quickly to the door. Come on in, girls. I was so busy I didn't even hear you. She smiled at them.
You see, I may be old and unable to do much, but I can pray, she said with a wink. Today I was praying for the kids in our neighborhood, including the two of you. When Callie got home, she told her mom what had happened. When we started this project, I just saw Mrs. Deaton as a burden, Callie admitted. But she's been teaching me a lot and praying for me too. Jesus promises to take care of us our whole lives, said Mom. Even when we're old, he will continue to work through us so others can know him better. Callie nodded. If I live to be as old as Mrs. Deaton, I hope I'll be praying for others and telling them about Jesus just like she does. So how about you? How do you feel about older people? Do you respect them? Do you spend time with them and listen to what they have to say? You'll find that older people can teach you valuable lessons from the experiences they've faced. God has given his senior saints, as well as younger Christians, a job to do. He's still working in their lives so they can point people to Jesus. They're valuable to him, and he wants you to value them too. Once again, our key verse is found in the Psalms, number 71, verse 18.
Even while I'm old and gray, God, do not abandon me. While I proclaim your power to another generation, your strength to all who are to come.
And our key thought today, learn from older Christians. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
Now presenting Wednesday's Daily Devotional.
I want to fit in with the other girls, but I don't like how they make fun of Damien. What should I do?
It's always best to do what's right in God's eyes rather than what might help you fit in. My name is Zach, and you're listening to Keys for Kids. Sometimes it's hard to choose between fitting in and doing what's right. As a kid, you want other kids to like you, but that might mean saying unkind things about another person just so you can fit in. Whenever that happens, think of this important Bible verse from Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. It says, "For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself." Our story today is called Harper's Choice. As Harper dashed out onto the playground, she spotted Lily and Emma chatting on the set of Double Bars. "Hi, Harper," Lily grinned as Harper ran over to them. "Want a turn?" She gestured to the bars where Emma was hanging by her legs. "Sure." Harper pulled herself up onto the bars next to Emma. "We were just talking about Damien," Lily told her. "Emma said she saw him picking his nose in class. He is so gross." Beside her, Emma laughed. Harper forced a smile, but inside her stomach churned nervously. She didn't like where this conversation was going. "Yeah," Emma piped up. "Did you see what he was eating for lunch today? Tuna fish. I have to sit next to him. He's going to smell fishy." "Oh, Emma, that literally stinks," Lily pulled a sympathetic face. They both looked at Harper, clearly wanting her to add something. "Maybe you could offer him a stick of gum?" Harper said with uncertainty. She didn't like that they were saying mean things about Damien. "A stick of gum?" Lily burst out laughing. "Oh, Harper, you're too much. If Emma offered him a stick of gum, he'd probably think she wanted to be his friend." "What's wrong with that?" Harper asked without thinking. "You can't be serious." Lily squeezed herself between Emma and Harper on the bars. "My turn," she announced, and Harper slid off. Her heart sank. She had the feeling Lily was dismissing her. "I mean," Harper said desperately, "obviously one stick of gum wouldn't be enough to get rid of the smell. You'd have to give him the whole pack." There was a beat of silence. Then Lily grinned and patted the bars. "Maybe there's room for three after all." Breathing out in relief, Harper hopped on the bars. She saw a flash out of the corner of her eye and turned to see Damien running past them. Had he heard what she'd said? Remorse filled her as she remembered that Jesus loved Damien and died for him as well as her. But she'd been so eager to fit in, she'd been willing to make fun of him. "Guys, I have to go," she said. Then she dashed off after Damien to apologize.
it was never too late to love others like Jesus does. So how about you? Have you ever said or done something unkind just because you wanted to fit in? How did you feel afterward? It can be hard to stand up for your friends, but Jesus is always with you. If you're ever in a tough situation, just ask him for help. He suffered the ultimate rejection on the cross because he loves you, and his love is better than the approval of any friend. He'll help you love others just like he does. Our key verse is found in the letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, verse 14.
For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself.
And our key thought, love others. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
Coming up next is Thursday's Daily Devotional.
I can't believe Eli hit another one over the fence. Why does he get good hits and I keep whiffing it?
Well, no one can be best at everything. Find out what you're good at and then practice that. Hi, I'm Zach, and this is listener-supported Keys for Kids. When I was growing up, I never thought that one day I'd get to talk to kids like you about God. But as I tried different things in my life, I found out that he's given me the gift of teaching. God has given you your own special talents, too, you know, things you're good at, and you should use them to help other people. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace." That's what our story's all about today. It's entitled, Up to Bat. Jonah sighed as Eli swung the bat, sending the ball flying over the fence. "Home run!" Eli shouted, running around the backyard and stepping on imaginary bases along the way. The two boys had been practicing their hitting skills. "Why is Eli always so lucky?" Jonah wondered. "All afternoon he got good hits and I just get pop flies for him to catch. Maybe I'm just not any good at baseball." Jonah glared at Eli. "Go get the ball yourself this time," he grumbled. He tossed his glove onto the ground and sat down at the picnic table. Eli went after the ball, then ran over to Jonah, baseball in hand. "Don't you want to practice hitting anymore?" Jonah wiped sweat from his forehead. "Nah." "Oh. Okay." Eli sat down next to Jonah. Both boys fanned themselves with their hats. "It's hot. I'll see if Mom has some lemonade for us," said Jonah, getting up from the table. "Rough time out there?" Mom asked as Jonah opened the patio door. Jonah shrugged. "Just not my day, I guess. I haven't had a single good hit." Mom poured two glasses of lemonade. "Well, baseball is a team sport." "I know," Jonah said. "So?" "So maybe hitting isn't your biggest strength," Mom said. "But you're a very good pitcher." She handed him the glasses. "Everybody has different strengths. We can't all be great hitters, but we do our best with the position we do play. It's like that with the body of Christ, too, the church. I was just reading a passage in the Bible about that. It pointed out that every Christian has a different calling. We need to use the talents God has given us, not those he gave someone else. We need to work as a team so we can show the world the love of Jesus together." Jonah grinned. "You're right, Mom. Thanks." He took a long drink of lemonade, then went out to the picnic table and handed Eli a glass. When their glasses were empty, Jonah picked up his glove. "You ready?" Eli looked surprised. "I thought you didn't want to play anymore." Jonah shrugged. "I changed my mind." "Okay," Eli said, picking up the bat. "You want to hit first?" "Nah," Jonah replied. "I'll just practice my pitch." So how about you? Have you ever felt like you just weren't good enough at something? Maybe you've seen someone else excelling in sports, music, or some other activity, and you wished you could be like that person. Don't waste time comparing your talents with those of anyone else. Instead, focus on the gifts God has given you. Use them as a part of God's team of believers to point others to Jesus. Our key verse is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10.
Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms.
And our key thought for today, use the talents God gave you. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
Get ready for Friday's daily devotional.
Why couldn't I have lighter skin like Kim? Why couldn't my kinky hair be as straight as hers?
God made you beautiful just the way you are, and He loves you too.
Welcome to Keys for Kids. My name is Zach. I'm so glad you're listening. My friend Daniel grew up as a pretty chubby kid. He was made fun of for his size in school, and that hurt him a lot. Even now, sometimes he sees himself as less valuable than other people because of his past experience. Have others teased you for how you look? Remember, God made you the way you are, and He loves you. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the author writes, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Our story today is entitled, Dark Skin. When Mom heard a loud, gut-wrenching sob coming from Pam's room, she knocked and then opened Pam's door. Pam was sobbing uncontrollably into her pillow while holding a picture of herself and her sister, Kim. "What's wrong, Pam?" asked Mom as she sat down on Pam's bed. Pam looked up from her pillow. "Why couldn't I have lighter skin like Kim? Why couldn't my kinky hair be as straight as Kim's? People look at her and ramble on about how beautiful she is. Then they realize I'm there and compliment me on how smart and athletic I am, but never how beautiful I am." Mom squeezed Pam's shoulder. "Baby girl, I have dark skin too." Pam sniffled. "But you're pretty, Mom." "So are you, but I can't make you see that. I can only pray that God will open your eyes to see how beautiful you truly are," Mom said. Pam wiped her eyes. "I know the Bible tells me I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Is it wrong for me to want people to think I'm pretty too, even though my skin is dark and my hair isn't straight?" "No, baby girl, it's not wrong to want people to think you're pretty because you are. You're beautiful because God created every part of you, and He sent His own Son to die for you so you could be His precious child. You're a one-of-a-kind treasure." Mom pulled Pam into her arms. "Did I ever tell you the verse your grandmother had me repeat whenever I compared myself to other girls?" "No, I don't think so," Pam said. "Your grandma would lead me to a mirror," Mom said, and she guided Pam over to the mirror on her bedroom wall. "Then we would look into it, and Grandma would stand tall and recite Song of Solomon 1:5. Dark I am, yet lovely." Then she would have me repeat those words until I smiled. Pam reached for her Bible and turned the pages to read the verse for herself. "She's called beautiful," Pam said with the biggest smile. "And she has dark skin like me." Mom nodded. "Never forget, Pam," she said. "Dark skin is beautiful to God." So how about you? Do you look different from other people that you know? Are you ever treated differently because of it? God created all kinds of people with a variety of shapes, sizes, hair, and skin tones, and He loves us all. He was willing to send Jesus to die for each and every one of us so we could be His children. So no matter how different you are, remember God loves you and you're special to Him. Our key verse is found in Psalm 139, verse 14.
"I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well."
And our key thought for the day, you are beautiful to God. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
Everything He does, He keeps His promises, we know, because, yeah, the thing we can count on. If God will never let us down, and we can trust everything He does. He keeps His promises, we know, because yeah, the word of the Lord holds still. We can trust Him, we can trust Him.
Did you enjoy doing the daily devotionals? I hope that this experience doesn't stop here, but that you continue to learn about Jesus' teachings by reading the Bible, praying to Jesus, and praising Him throughout the week. Well then, I'll catch you all next week. Remember, God loves you very much.